Good morning. A pastor was talking to the Sunday school class one morning, and he was talking about the importance of love. And he said, money cannot buy laughter, and it cannot buy love. To get his message across more directly, he said, what would you do if I offer you $1,000 not to love your mother and your father? After a long silence, there was a little girl from the middle section. She said, how much would you give me not to love my sister? I guess everybody is familiar with this kind of picture. If you've been born like little children in your life, I hope you have been. You know what sibling rivalry is. And I am no exception. We have 7 brothers and 6 sisters in our family. And especially 4 of the brothers, we grew up together and we were teenagers almost at about the same time. So our house was located in the commercial street. And 2 guys will be fighting in the living room with the window open to the street, and then another 2 guys will be fighting in the porch. So people walking by our house, they will be watching us like a movie or something, like we're shooting a movie. So the disciples were no stranger to rivalry. So Jesus took the disciples, especially 3 of them, John, James, and Peter, to the Mount of Transfiguration. And then after they came down, Jesus told Peter to go to the water and get the tax money out of the fish so that they can pay tax for the whole disciple. So these disciples were cooking something in their mind, and they were like, who is going to be the leader after Jesus is gone, you know, and who is going to be the head when we get to the kingdom? And they were thinking about the earthly kingdom Jesus was going to establish, the earthly kingdom, and they assume that there will be one of the leaders there. So they asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus gave them 2 answers. The first answer was indirect answer. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, he gave the direct answer. He said, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The disciples wanted to know who would take the highest position in the kingdom. But Jesus, first of all, wanted them to know who would even qualify to enter the kingdom. So from our text, read by our pastor today, Matthew 18, verses 1 to 20, we find a family talk Jesus has with his little disciple. And from this, we find out how to live peacefully with our siblings. Or in other way, how to treat our siblings. So in order to live peacefully with our siblings, we must first become a homeborn child of the family. We must first become a homeborn child of the family. Jesus says, unless you change and become like these little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in the English translation we have, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. But in the original Greek, whenever they want to emphasize something really strongly, they use 2 double negative. So it would read, if we translate it roughly and literally, it would read like, you will never, never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it's a very strong statement that Jesus is making. So this disciple have high ambition. They wanted to get a PhD without passing a kindergarten. So Jesus is dealing with his little children here, as you can imagine. So to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, who was a religious person, and he said, you must be born again. So to become like little children means to have childlike, humble faith. So to be born again is to be born of the Spirit and to accept the free offer of salvation through Christ Jesus. Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. That we cannot contribute anything to this. So we only accept the gift when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. So we enter into the kingdom of heaven through spiritual birth, just like a baby enters into this world or in the family, in a physical family, through physical birth. So only those who have childlike, humble faith will enter the kingdom of heaven. We can only truly belong to the kingdom of God when we come to Him in weakness, dependence, and in need. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven in our own strength and self-sufficiency. Only through a childlike faith, completely trusting God to save you from your sins, one can become a homeborn child of the family of God. So to live peacefully with our sibling, first we must become a homeborn child of God. Secondly, we must behave like an honorable child of the family. So behaving like honorable child means, first of all, having a humble attitude. So childlike humble attitude, Jesus is talking about here. He said, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The disciple wanted to compete for the top position in the kingdom, but Jesus did the opposite. They were looking up high, but Jesus pulled a little child here to show them a big lesson with this little children, this little child. So childlikeness and childishness are not the same. Childlikeness is not childishness. Childishness commonly means negative qualities such as silly or immature, unattractive behaviors. Childlikeness means attractive qualities of children such as trusting, dependent, innocent, humble, and meek qualities. Our littleness before God is actually our greatness in the kingdom of God. A truly humble person does not concern himself with position, prestige, or power, but serving God and others and pleasing God. Behaving like a humble child of the family creates a peaceful relationship with the siblings. Another quality of behaving like an honorable child of the family is providing hospitable acts. Providing hospitable acts. Jesus said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. The best way to show our faith is serving others through hospitable acts. Hospitable acts means serving others, welcoming each other in the family of God, supporting each other, encouraging each other, visiting each other, and checking on the welfare of our sibling in the family of God. Doing so equals doing it to Christ and welcoming Christ in our home. Welcoming the child in the home is welcoming Christ in the home. Welcoming other believers in our life as Jesus would welcome them is welcoming Christ in our lives. Jesus shows the most noble hospitality to his disciples when he started to wash their dirty feet one by one. He set an example that we can follow. So if we humbly serve one another more, maybe there will be fewer reasons and less time for complainings and conflict in the family and even in the family of God. Humble attitude and hospitable acts are behaviors of an honorable child of the family of God. They bring peace in the family. In addition to becoming a homeborn child and becoming like an honorable child of the family, the last quality which brings peace in the family is behaving like a healthy child of the family. A healthy child is a mature and stable child. A healthy child does not offend other siblings. So do not offend the other siblings. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 6. A healthy, mature child will not intentionally and knowingly trip the other sibling to fall and get injured. How do you treat your sibling is the same as treating your parents. How you treat your fellow believer is the same as treating God. That's how God feels. If you treat someone's child wrong, the parent feels that treatment. Jesus is saying, you cannot mistreat my children without hurting my feelings. The way we treat another believer has the same effect to God, either positively or negatively. The severity of offending your sibling is like a person hanging a large millstone in the neck and get drawn in the sea. So the large millstone is used to grind their food, I guess. So it's used for a mule to grind, to go around, to grind the food, the grain. Thank you. So this is the type of capital punishment the Roman used at the time. So Jesus is saying, instead of hurting, if you hurt somebody, it's better for you to hang that millstone in your neck and get drawn. So it's a pretty serious illustration. So way in which we can cause our sibling to fall are like leading others away from the truth, lying, evil speaking, backbiting, giving others wrong and bad advice, motivating others to do wrong. Ephesians 6 says, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. So abusive relationship of any kind is offensive to God, as much as it is offensive to those who are in the receiving end. Another way to cause someone to fall is failing to show moral life. If we, as Christians, do not live exemplary life in our home, in our church, or wherever we may be, that may be a cause for someone to fall. That may be a stumbling block for someone to see Jesus. So taking advantage of other siblings abusing our position, power, privileges to satisfy our own selfishness and ego is a capital crime. Instead of helping and blessing others, we hurt and criticize others. So there is direct abuse and indirect abuse. So there are direct sins and indirect sins. So that's why we call sin of omission or sin of ignorance in Numbers 15:22. That's why every Sunday here we confess our sins, the known and the unknown, because in our mind we think we're pretty okay, but not able to do the right thing that we are supposed to do is also a sin. That's why we have to come to God and repent of our known and unknown sin. So, a healthy child does not only cause other siblings to sin, he or she also does not cause the members of his or her own body to sin. So, here, self-control on others, and here, self-control on oneself. So do not cause the members of your own body to sin. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed and crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the lake of fire. God is not really looking and talking about literal physical surgery here, but he's talking about spiritual cardiac surgery. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." So Jesus uses physical surgeries to illustrate spiritual surgeries. Everybody is familiar with the story of Jacob. He grew up in a Christian, a godly home, and he was always looking for blessing, physical blessing. And he tried to steal away the birthright from his elder brother. And because of that, he had to run away from his home and live with his uncle, far away from the home. And he never get to see his mother when he came back. His mother was already dead when he came home. So he prospered physically when living with his uncle Laban. But his prosperity create jealousy from his uncle family. So he cannot live with his uncle family much longer. So he has to return back his home to face his angry brother who tried to kill him. So there's no way he can escape. If he stay there, there's no fun. If he go back there, there's no fun either. So he can't refuse. He has no choice but to return to his brother. And so on his way to his brother, just before seeing his brother the night before, the angel of the Lord grabbed him and wrestled with him. And Jacob started wrestle with the angel too. And finally, he said, "Unless you bless me, I will not leave you." So the angel finally touched his hip and he became lame. And his name changed from Jacob to Israel. So the angel touched Jacob's hip and his name changed. To get spiritual blessings, it causes Jacob his physical look. He has to walk limp for the rest of his life. And then he's strained. He's not as strong as he was before. But Jacob was physically limp, but physically blessed. Physically handicapped, spiritually enriched. So a healthy, mature person does not mind hurting himself or allowing to get hurt physically or socially or emotionally in order to get spiritually healthy. So we must seek not only to avoid causing stumbling to others, but also to bring back anyone who has stumbled as well. So a healthy child, a mature child, also actively seek out the wandering sibling of the family. Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" The word despise here means look down upon with superior attitude. So God has angels for the little ones, believers, to watch over them and who are giving report to God the Father of what's happening. So Jesus is telling, be careful how you treat your little sibling or your fellow brother or your fellow sister, because the angels are watching you and they are reporting to the Father. So as God the Father cares for the return of this little sheep, you must also seek out the wandering sibling to return them to the sheepfold. Jesus said, you cause this little one to wander off, you better bring them back. So a healthy child of the family also actively try to reconcile with the offending sibling of the family. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Here, talk privately with that sibling. If we practice this one, there will be so many problems solved in our families, in our churches, and in our ministry. We don't follow this biblical principle. That's why we have so many broken families, broken ministry, and broken churches. So Jesus said, if a believer caused disagreements or hurt feelings to another believer, the offended person should go to the offender privately and deal with it. Naturally, we think, if he or she offend me, she's the one who should come to me. But Jesus go the other way around. If someone talk bad about you, if someone hurt you, you better go and talk to that person. So either way, you are not excused. That's what Jesus is trying to say. If you are the offending person, you have the responsibility to deal with that. If you are the offended person, you also have the responsibility to deal with that situation privately, one-on-one. So this is the biblical principle that Jesus set out for any type of relationship, I would say, including families and church and any relationship. So secondly, if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So the second approach will be, if the first approach does not work, get some help from other believers to deal with the offender. So it's not like going to beat up that person with, you know, two or three people. But it's like getting some spiritual support and, you know, getting some negotiation going on, getting things right. So I think it would be best for us to pick the spiritual ones to help us in this area. If we happen to pick someone who is as weak as someone else, then it might create more problems. So we need a more stable spiritual person to help us in this area to get that thing done. So the third thing is, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So if the second approach still doesn't work, take the matter to the church with the purpose of reconciling with that brother. So this is very important. It's not, the primary purpose is not to beat up that fellow believer. The primary purpose is to bring back that believer, that brother or sister who is refusing to talk. So if done right in godly manners, very few people would only get to the third stage. So if we follow these two stages, the first two stages, I believe strongly that most problems will be solved without getting into the third stage. So many churches and many people, they don't follow this at all. That's why there are many problems in ministry and in families. So the third is a very sensitive thing, the third step. So we should do that with careful prayers, love, compassion, humility. So the one who exercises this authority should be those who are filled with the Spirit. So if we are not filled with the Spirit, and if we are not godly, and if we are not in prayer, we might do some harm to someone in this stage. So God gave the church the authority to act on His behalf. So the leaders of the church and the church members are responsible to deal this kind of situation, delicate situation, in a godly manner. So Jesus is telling us, in order to live peacefully with our sibling, maybe at home or in the church or any other place, we need to follow what He's saying here. And if we follow God's way, God is going to bring peace and reconciliation in our families and in our churches and in our neighborhood. So may the Lord bless each every one of us. Amen.